Welcome to the podcast, everyone. This is Brock Cannon. I am your host. This is episode number 41. In this episode, I was able to have an awesome conscious conversation with men's coach and therapist, Ewan Corlett. Ewan hails from the UK and has quite a journey himself. He got mixed up into drugs and alcohol at a pretty young age without a lot of masculine guidance, you might say, in his life, and it ended up where he needed to go into recovery. It was in recovery that he really started to soul search and find himself and has popped out the other side now, like so many thought leaders and people in this world who are helping others. He has now started an organization called Young Men Evolution, where he's helping young men just after their university years and into adulthood really get clear on finding themselves. He's basically taking all the mistakes that he made and now helping other young men avoid those same mistakes. So without further ado, enjoy this awesome conversation with Ewan Corlett.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Brock Cannon podcast. So excited to be joined today by Ewan Corlett, who is a therapist, men's coach, and founder of Young Men Evolution. We're going to have a really cool conscious conversation today. I've been following this guy for a while with his work that he's doing with men and just been blown away by his content, his authenticity, and really bringing to the forefront a lot of points that should be talked about more in the world of the masculine, but are not. So excited to get into his story today and just a wonderful conscious organic conversation. So without further ado, Ewan, welcome to the podcast, brother.
Welcome, Brock. Welcome. Thank you for having me, brother. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Good to have you. So, Ewan, for those that aren't super familiar with your story, you know, give us just a little bit of your background, you know, where you grew up, kind of maybe anything of interest with your background and how you ended up in men's work and doing the work in therapy that you're doing currently.
Yeah, sure thing. So I grew up in fairly rural United Kingdom in the south of England, standard sort of middle class family, fairly undiverse environment, predominantly white. And I fell into addiction at a young age, around 13. I started smoking cannabis, was addicted to that until I was about 19, and alcohol and other class A drugs, and kind of lost myself. Well, I lost myself in drugs and alcohol up until my 30s. And it was a few months before my 30th birthday where I reached what many would term as rock bottom. I couldn't really see a way forward with the drink and drugs, and I couldn't see life without it, so to speak. So that's when I surrendered, came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and from that point forward have been rebuilding myself, finding myself. And it was around the age of 34, 35, I'm 39 now, that I trained as a counsellor. And I've been doing that now in private practice alongside the coaching for the last 3 years. I'm fairly newer to the coaching, only for the last year or so, with regards to the coaching side of things. And now I'm more moving into creating community for young men, because I truly believe that there is such a need amongst young men in the environments that I live in, to learn how to connect with themselves authentically, to feel their feelings, express their feelings, feel validated in their feelings, amongst other men specifically. And my own greater healing in the last couple of years in male spaces has really catapulted my healing to the next level. So in that healing, I realize I have much to give, and I'm passionate about doing so. So that's where my core focus is now, in helping the younger man. Yeah.
That's fantastic, man. And obviously, having gone through a lot of that yourself, you can kind of say, hey, I understand the journey that you're on. Here's my hand. Let me help you through this. What is kind of the specific age range that you typically work with young men? Is there a specific age range, or is it just anyone in their teenager?
There isn't a specific age range, to be honest with you. I'm working from 18 upwards. I've not yet bracketed out below that age because there's more safeguarding issues and things to look into. But at this stage, my kind of core client is the guy who's left university, you know, and isn't sure what to do with his life, has just spent 3 or 4 years in university, still doesn't feel like he has directions, feeling a bit lost. But overall, I'm looking to work with any young men, so to speak, who find it hard to deal with their emotions, find it hard to be emotionally aware, but are conscious to the fact that there is a lot of repressed emotion within them, and to basically validate that so that they can come forward. And with regards to age, my outlook on that at the moment is like, I was 30 years old, right? And in my body, I mean, I was, 18 emotionally. So right. It's like, how do we define young? You know, I mean, I'm saying is that I was young emotionally. I wasn't emotionally developed. So you could be 40 and be a young man in that respect. Do you know what I mean? So
100%. Yep. And it's crazy. We're actually the same age, man. And I very much resonate with that. It's like, you know, I wasn't 38 until I started to be aware of this concept of trying to feel and understand emotion. I had always suppressed it. I had always run from it. So I get it. And, you know, the work that you're doing, I think, is so important because it doesn't have an age limit. You know, there's men that can go their entire lives essentially without learning how to feel their emotion and process. So I want to ask you this question, because you're obviously a man that's self-reflected a lot on your journey. If you could go back and talk to your younger self, you know, maybe anytime after 18 or so, and say, hey, here's what you need to know to not get into these mistakes or go down this path. What advice would you give to your younger self?
3 words. Ask for help. And it's that straightforward, because there was so much pride within me, right? My ego wanted me dead. Like, to ask for help was the greatest sign of failure. So I had grown up believing. So there, you know, let's extend that a little bit maybe and say there is no shame in asking for help, and ask another man for help. But I think that, again, with such strong beliefs around, or such shame in the expression of emotion, there was no way that was going to happen until I was on my knees. And that's why, you know, that's the core motivator in how do we reach that young man that can't, that just, you know, like myself at that age, that just wouldn't, it's not on the cards. How do we reach that mind, you know? And I'm still figuring that out. So,
It's true, man. Like, that is such great advice. And I hope that everybody listening adheres to that, is, you know, that really never ends. But isn't it interesting? And I want to maybe go down this rabbit hole for a moment of just like, why is that? You know, it's like, I remember, so I'm the oldest of four. Three boys and one girl in my family. And, you know, being the eldest, I remember feeling like there's some pressure, you know, you gotta be, if dad's gone, you gotta be the man of the house. You know, my parents split, when I was 13, and I didn't even remember this. And it was crazy, Ewan, because my mom told me when I was like in my adulthood, she's like, do you remember how your dad used to just like be really hard on you and tell you to like toughen up or be a man or like, you know, don't be a pussy, like all these things. She's like, do you remember that? And I had like literally blocked that out. And I was like, no, I don't. And then it like started to kind of come back, you know, after I started to process stuff. But, you know, not every father is like that, obviously, but, you know, what do you see from your perspective in our society with how, you know, the term masculinity is bred, and, you know, what can we do to change that so that we don't have a bunch of feeling less men in the world?
Yeah, great question, great topic. So reflecting on my experience as a child, as a young man, my father really didn't validate emotion. And, you know, my father, you know, I'm a strong believer, my parents did the best they could with what they'd been given themselves, right? My father wasn't an emotionally expressive individual. He's learning to be a bit more in his older age now, which is beautiful to witness, and beautiful in the connection that we're growing now. But at the time, as a young person, I really didn't have that strong masculine, balanced masculine feminine energy from my father. And it's vital, right? It's absolutely vital to have a man who expresses himself and listens and validates that, you know, all of these different feelings you're having are valid and it's part of growing up, it's normal. And then to have instilled that strength, that resilience within those emotions, which is the masculine, right? To know that, yes, this too shall pass. And it's okay to be in it, but to come out of it and ask oneself, right, what am I learning here? How am I growing through the experience of whatever it may be, right? How am I broadening out? How am I shedding off the child? Or more integrating the child into the growing adult, should I say, to be more balanced, and to be able to then develop into a healthy, you know, emotionally healthy individual. And I guess what I realize is that I really didn't have that, and I was so hungry for it. And it's only really like in the last couple of years that I've really realized that. And began to now reach out for that for myself. And that places me in a position of responsibility, I believe, whereby which I now can take that forward and offer that to those who are in need, like I was in need, and see it, you know, have the clarity of vision to see it through the experience that I've lived, and to then be that man that those young men need. So that they can then be that man that the other young men need. Do you know what I mean? And be an example to one another. And so it goes and so it goes, right? To have children, to then pass that on to their children. And, you know, I asked myself a while ago, Jordan Peterson stimulated the question within me. You have to ask yourself, where can I do the most good with what I have or what I've experienced? And I pondered this for a few years and you know, this is where I'm at. So, I've gone around the houses a little bit there. I'm not sure if I've answered your question succinctly, but,
No, I think that's great, man. And I appreciate you sharing that. You know, so it's like, it's the question I think all of us that do men's work are kind of trying to answer is like, all right, if the traditional young man is embarrassed to show his feelings or to cry or to express emotion that might be perceived as tender or maybe more in the feminine energy, you know, like we perceive that as weak, you know, no young man in his peer group wants to be, you know, called a sissy or whatever their term might be called. So, you know, what are some ways that young men and grown men can foster the ability to express emotion without being so scared or worried that they're going to be ridiculed for that?
Yeah, big question that, Brock, isn't it? Big question.
Big question.
Witness, right? Witness one another. But I think it's like, becoming whole in our being with each other in those, like you say, those more tender emotions that may be deemed, as you say, unmasculine. How do we bridge a gap between the two, between that individual that's judging? How do we get that individual into a more compassionate place within themselves? Because, well, I know that if I'm judging, then that's coming from a place of discomfort and disease within myself. So how do I get them to meet them? Well, how do we get each other to meet each other in that more compassionate place? Well, again, by witnessing one another in those emotions. I think it's what comes after. You know, you can hold space for someone and be compassionate with them, but it's the conversation that comes after, you know, because I think that's where the individual leaves with a message, right? If there's nothing said, then there is no change in a belief around what that may be. It's also interesting because thinking about it, because when I was a child, I was very anxious, and I was what you could stereotypically say a bit of a wimp in my, you know, because I hadn't had the comfort that I needed as a child to the degree that I needed to be more resilient in those emotions, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is that we need to be patient with one another. We need to be less judgmental. We need to understand the makeup of what makes us an emotional being, right? What was necessary for that individual to become more well-rounded as the adult that they're becoming, or why they are less well-rounded in their emotion, why they're not able to tolerate their emotions. And try just understand, like educate and understand. I think the answer is in education, right? We want to change this stuff for the long term. We need to educate our children and our young minds in emotional awareness, in emotional intelligence, in resilience, you know, in the fact that you are innately resilient, right? I think that's one of the biggest problems, is that boys are overly mothered, and they don't go through the initiation of becoming a man. The mother, I saw this post the other day, the mother devours the boy and the father's not emotionally present. So the boy comes out into the world and like has no emotional backbone, if you will, and falls into that category that you're talking about. So we need to steady them up and show them that masculine energy that's in there, unlock it, you know. And I think that comes in an emotional embodiment, right? And we're talking breath work, we're talking physical embodiment, whatever that may be, and then the cognition of that and communication of that to become whole in body, mind, spirit. I think I've kind of gone all around the houses again, but hopefully that's kind of given some kind of answer to your question.
I think you hit a lot of good points, man. And I think, like you said, being patient with each other, showing empathy for each other, holding space for each other, huge. And then I also think there's this, and tell me if you've seen this, because I think this is one of the most magical things about men's groups or men's circles, is that when one man has the courage to open up completely vulnerable and say whatever he's saying that he's struggling with, you're going to have five more guys that are going to raise their hand and essentially say, me too. And then it's this snowball effect of like, oh, this is the new masculine. This is what it means to like step into our power and be a man, and not like stuff these feelings inside. So I think that's really powerful. But you know, what I wanted to ask you, and kind of just step back as well, you know, there's obviously different challenges that men face from right after they graduate university to, you know, say the time they're 30. What do you feel like are some of the biggest struggles that men are facing today?
Oh, wow. I think a lot of men would say women off the top, like what does a woman want? How do I be for a woman? How do I connect with women? I think a lot of that relates to all of the challenges. One of the biggest challenges that a lot of young men face with regards to pornography, for example. Mm-hmm. What is it to have a healthy relationship with oneself and therefore have a healthy relationship with a partner? That the healthy relationship with oneself has not been yet built, and therefore you're going to struggle having a healthy relationship with a partner. How do I know that I am enough as a man in this world? What is it to be a man in this world? What is my sense of purpose? What is my sense of meaning and direction? What is my why? I think that all of those things are hugely challenging for the young man that hasn't received sufficient emotional guidance and direction from, you know, men and women, their caregivers and their tribes as they've grown up. You know, the challenges of enoughness. I think that's the biggest thing for men, like what it is to be enough. Like I know for myself, chasing and I'm so being so driven and chasing, I'm doing this. And I'm recently currently going through a bit of a massive awakening, actually. The long night of the dark soul type thing, you know. And the biggest awakening in this is I am enough. And that means I'll break that down in the sense of like, just relax, Ewan, be calm, move with ease, one thing at a time. We're going to just go with the flow. And that is the true belief and acceptance that I am enough. Whatever I do is enough. And you know, if a young man has that level of acceptance within themselves, then they can do anything they want in this life and be successful, because they already know that they're successful. They're not judging themselves based on the woman that's on their arm or the amount of money in their bank or, you know, whatever it is that they may have achieved. They just have a deep inner knowing of the fact that I am enough. And I believe that's the bit, I mean, extending that out into the Western world, I believe that is the disease of our time. I am not enough.
Right.
These are the ego, right, that drives everything that we see in the modern culture of the world. I think people like yourself and I on this journey of really deeply knowing that truth that I am enough can do amazing things in connection to bring people together in love, to then carry that energy forward for the next generation.
Man, that's beautiful. That's spot on. I couldn't agree more. And I would love to hear a little more about your story. And if you even need just a moment to think about this, that's totally fine. But, you know, I think we have similar journeys in that sense, because it sounds like you kind of went through your period of, you know, looking for ways to numb your feelings or maybe escape them, drugs, alcohol, whatever else. I certainly did it with different vices. So was there a pivotal moment where you kind of finally came back into your body, into your true self, and had that moment of, wow, Ewan, like, here you are, and you're enough right now? Was there a moment, or maybe just one or two moments, where you really had that awakening, and what was that like for you?
Yeah, I think I have had a few awakenings of that, when I realized that. But the true embodiment and deep inner knowing and acceptance of that, that's only happened really recently for me, like in the last few weeks. Since I started, so I basically removed myself from a long-term relationship. I've gone into hermitage basically for the last 3 months. I've been so pretty much on my own that whole time, really wrestling with the rest of the darkness that hasn't been cleared up, or should I say the belief that the child, that little Ewan cannot meet his own needs, that little Ewan can't be safe and secure on his own, that little Ewan can't self-soothe and comfort himself. And this deep awakening that's happened in the last few weeks has been as the result of doing some amazing coaching work with Mike Segun, who has just been an absolute blessing to my life in the breath work that I do with him, holotropic breath work, which has been, I don't know if you've ever done any holotropic, have you done any of that?
Dude, we're going to talk about breath work. That's extremely powerful. I want to go off on that in a moment, but okay, cool, working with Mike's amazing. I know of Mike. So working with him, going into the breath.
The and unlocking and really breaking my heart, breaking my chest apart, ripping my heart open. I never realized how blocked my heart was. And the awakening to love, the awakening to wholeness of love for who I am. And, you know, in my addiction, my active alcohol and drug addiction, I was so separated from self. But in recovery, I can become separated from self, because such is the power of that part, that wound in the child within me, to try and fix on things, whatever those things may be, relationships, sex, food, whatever, movies, whatever, you know, whatever takes me away from self. And it's taken a lot of courage to really sit and be present with myself, with strong guidance, and coming home to my body, really. Because what I realized is that in my younger years, like the first 7-8 years of my life, I disassociated from my body a lot. And I won't go into all the ins and outs as to why that was probably the case. High levels of anxiety, a lot of cortisol. What one tends to as a child, disassociate from the body. So it's hard for us to feel whole. And so the deeper healing has out of the head into the body. You know, feeling really, really feeling and knowing this deeper love for myself. It's quite profound. And like the other day, once we were in a session, and I got up and I was just laughing in front of the mirror for like 5 minutes, just full of joy and celebration for me. And that's like not an egotistical thing. It's a real spirit soul vibe, man, that's so uplifting and joyous to come home to oneself fully, you know. It's so magical. It's it's amazing,
dude. That like gave me chills just you talking about that, because I resonate on such a level and a heart level with that. I'm literally just, I'm holding my heart right now, holding space for you as you said that, because that's like such a beautiful awakening and such a moment that I get. And I mean, I can imagine you going through that, and it's like, wow, I thought I was this identity, or I thought I was this perception of you and for all these years. And then, whoa, now I'm coming back into my breath. I'm coming back into my body. And here's what I really am. Here's my true essence. And that's like, oh, so fucking powerful. Like when you get that. So I want to ask you a little more, and maybe we could have a brief conversation on breath work. Mm-hmm. Obviously so many different types of breath work, but I think it's pretty common these days to see in quote unquote men's work, some implementation of the breath. And so what's the biggest thing that it's done for you? And would you mind telling us just a little bit about your daily or weekly practice with it?
So the biggest thing it's done for me is enabled me to feel into my body, to know where trapped emotion is sitting. The realization that I hold most of my emotion on my chest. There's a lot of repression, my chest, and also my gut. The reason that, and I realized that I had a lot of gut issues over the years, and that was because I wasn't releasing my emotions. So essentially, being able to release at any time, to be able to sit, breathe deeply and drop into my body, allow myself to relax into the sensations in my body, to breathe into those sensations, and then to breathe out from those sensations. So it's quite a profound mindfulness thing that I've experienced. With regards to like what types of breath work I practice, I don't really know the names of them, to be honest with you. The ones that Mike has been leading me within, I think they're, you know, quite basic ones. So, you know, breathing in deeply into the gut and to the chest. The holotropic stuff is the two-step breath from belly, chest, out the mouth very rapidly. That's been assisted with different music and guidance from Mike. I've dabbled a little bit with the Wim Hof stuff, which has been interesting in holding your breath for long periods of time. Wow, that's amazing.
Yep.
I haven't got as into it as I would like, but I definitely will be, because I've just started reading Breathe by James Nestor.
Great book.
The science of a Lost Art. So it's really only since I started working with Mike at the beginning of January that breath work really came into full vision for me. I've meditated for years. I've meditated for about 8 years now, and it was Theravada Buddhism and Vipassana meditation that I've always been interested in. So with regards to that meditation, that's just a simple following of the breath, counting in one, counting out one, in two, out two, and just a very mindful observation of the breath with that, which is very calming. What I'm interested in now moving forward is the immense, as you say, the immense variety that there is, and really beginning to experience them for myself so that I can select areas that I deem appropriate to apply, like you say, into certain groups so that they're powerful for men. Yeah,
100%, man. And I resonate with all of that. So, and I just appreciate you talking about it, because I think the more, and like for me as well, the breath work has absolutely transformed my life, brought me back to the self, like you said, you know, awareness of what's really inside of the body, you know, not just other people's external perception of that, but like, who am I? And I mean, it's crazy, man. Like, you've experienced it, you know. Guys have no idea how just using the power of this instrument, the breath that we use every day without thinking, I mean, you can find God within yourself in so many ways, and it's powerful. So I love that we're having this conversation, and hopefully more men continue to seek that out as a modality of healing and awareness, because it's powerful stuff. I hope we can do a breathing session someday, man. That'd be fun. Just breathe.
I'm completely up for that, bro. 100%. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man.
I love how you just said you can find God within yourself, because it really is like that, isn't it? Is the expanse, the separation of the ego, and one of the most powerful phrases that has really been at the forefront for me in the last few months is I am loving awareness, a Ramdas phrase, right? That that in this breath works, I've just so in that, just enveloped in that, so connected to the earth, to just everything. It's so profound, so beautiful. Can't get enough of it. Not like a drug. It's not like becoming addicted to it. Just like I want to dwell in this place for time, you know.
100%, and I see that a lot, and I don't think it's an accident that a lot of people in, you know, the addiction recovery world do move towards breath work as a modality to leave the vices that have trapped them for so long. But I think you really hit it. Like, it's different. Like, yes, it's this feeling that's so good that, like, you kind of don't want to get enough of it, but it's not going to leave you with really, really shitty side effects like drugs or alcohol do. So it's like this beautiful thing. So I always think of it as like drugs, alcohol, porn, like whatever the vice is, it's kind of like taking you out of the body temporarily. It's this escape, right? I don't have to think about your shit for a while, but then the breath like brings you back into your body. And sometimes it processes that shit without you even knowing it. And then it's also like, but empowering you to, like you said, loving awareness, like you couldn't have said it better. So it's so beautiful, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Awesome, bro.
One of my favorite things to do on the show, Ewan, is just kind of tap into some of the routines, the practices, the behind the scenes of the day-to-day of my guests on the show. And so would you mind just maybe taking us through, what does your day look like? You know, kind of like a typical day, you know, like when do you wake up? Like, you know, obviously no day is ever the exact same, but like, you know, what gets you going? You know, what are some of your struggles during the day? And then like, what works for you?
Okay. Brilliant. So I've really been working on this in the last 3 months in getting my boundaries much tighter. I'm in bed by 11 p.m. and my alarm goes off at 7. I'm a stirrer, so I like to stretch in bed, and I get out of bed at 7:30. I do a lot of stretches. I drink some water. I always have a pint of water by my bed. I get up, I pull my curtains. I'm blessed to be by the sea, so I look out at the sea for 5 minutes and just absorb that. Then I come into my living room. I meditate for 20 minutes. If it's not too cold, I'll open the French windows and let the fresh air in. I tend to do that a lot recently have a blanket around me and everything, get nice and cozy and do my 20 minutes of meditation. Then I'll journal. And my journaling's got much more stretched out recently, actually. So I kind of go through a process of initially where I'm at, what I'm feeling, what's come into my mind so far in those first 30 minutes or so of the day. Then I will write 10 things that I'm grateful for, and then I will write where my life is going. So what is it that I'm being drawn to? What's the magnetic pull that may have come in meditation? One thing or something that I feel I'm being drawn to. It may just be a glimpse of a vision of a meadow or something or whatever. You know, it might be a feeling, a closeness to someone that I haven't seen for a while that I want to see, or something that's come into my consciousness. So I'll journal that down. Then I'll read maybe just 4 or 5 pages, whatever feels right of a book that I'm reading. So currently, like I said, the Breathe by James Nestor. And then currently I'm a mind, I'm a mind valley person. So then I do my mind valley, which at the moment I'm doing Robin Sharma, hero, genius, legend, which I'm loving. And whilst I'm doing this, I'm also having my lemon, turmeric and ginger tea. Now, that all sounds amazing, right? I've got to say, and I'm recounting it to you, I'm like, wow, I'm really proud of myself. Because like the first 2 hours, I've given myself this gift now where the first 2 hours of my day are all about me. They're all about me being present with me, being present with my body, my thoughts, connecting with myself. And you know what, Brock? I feel so good as a result of it. I feel so healthy within myself as a result of that commitment to myself. And that's Monday through Friday. On the weekends, I'm a little bit more slack with it. I kind of, I like to be a little bit more, I'll see what I feel like. But the discipline of that Monday through Friday to start my day is great. Then I'll go for a quick walk, maybe 30 minutes. Depending on how my day's stretched, I'll do some exercise. I might go for a run. But exercise is fundamental to my well-being. Got to do some exercise a day, even if it's only a 30-minute walk. And then I'll jump into clients. I might have two or three clients within a day. And in between clients, I'll be reading a bit more or on my Instagram. Yeah, that's it. And obviously between then making a smoothie and or cooking or whatever. And yeah, and I do like to watch a movie. Every couple of nights I will watch a movie, and I kind of think that's my kind of, and I was talking about losing oneself in the movie, and that was very much a thing of the past for me, in just like sitting in front of a TV all the time,
right?
So I'm really pleased in with myself in my discipline around that. So it's like I give myself that gift of watching something that is like, I watch a documentary or I watch a movie that is gonna move me in some way, you know. I'm done with horrors, and I'm done with you know, like guns and all that. Like I'm not into that anymore, really. Don't get me wrong, like I'm a little bit of action adventure every now and again, but
sure,
I'm a true believer in like this whole what you focus on grows. So like I want to build a beautiful life, which is a calm life, a calm connected life. And I believe the more I invest in that, and it's not, do you know what, from in the past it would have been about perfectionism. It's got to be like this and it's got to be like that, and it has to, do you know what I mean? And when I was living like that, and I was living like that, I wasn't happy and I wasn't content within myself. So it's not regimented in my mornings, but there's a flow to it now, an almost effortless flow. And I'm a true believer, if you have a pattern in your morning that is a devotion to yourself, sacred time to yourself, that the rest of your day will progress in alignment with that, and it's going to be good, it's going to be joyous, you have more energy to give to others, you know.
Yes.
Because you've given to yourself first. Give to yourself first, you know, it's the old cliche, fill your own heart tank up first, fill your own cup up first, and you've got more to give. And that's definitely the case for me, through experience of getting it wrong for a long time, Brock. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I feel like I'm getting it, what is right for you. And I believe I am, I'm finding that now, which is fantastic.
Oh man, I love that. And I love the kind of behind the scenes look into your life and your day. It's so true. And it's funny because I see a theme of that with, you know, high achievers and what I would deem as successful, conscious people that come on the show. And it's like, they have those rituals in the morning. And, you know, I've heard everything from people getting up at 4:30 AM to 5 or 6 or 7, whatever, but it's yeah. Like that time is sacred and 100% allows them to fill their cup. And, you know, some people are like, I can never get up that early. I just want to like say to them, you know, it's like, if you have practices, and maybe that's why, like, you don't have practices that you've fallen in love with, whether that's yeah. reading a book or the journaling or the meditation, where in a beautiful, soulful way, you crave it and you're not feeling like, oh, this is drudgery to get up this early, but it can be like so nice. And
yeah.
You know, I think that's just such a beautiful thing. So I hope anyone that's listening yeah. and considering a morning routine takes that to heart. It's beautiful.
I think, I hope they do. I think what my realization is that I come to a level of love and honor for myself. And that means that I'm able to give myself what I need. Do you know what I mean? The question, can you give yourself what you really need? And I believe, like, knowing from my past where I didn't value and honor and love myself to the degree that I was in need of, I wasn't able to give myself what I need. I had to believe I was worthy of meeting these needs, and I had to shed a lot of the pain and buried, like for me, trauma that was still preventing me from honoring my needs and not toxifying myself with whatever it may be, food or any kind of practice that wasn't giving to me, that was actually taking from it. Do you know what I mean? It's so I think that once people, you know, are giving themselves what they need in other areas of their life. So like maybe the start to building that kind of routine is actually, you know, I'm struggling with my emotions. I need to go and talk to a counselor, you know, because people aren't at that stage to be able to give themselves that. Like there's an evolution to it, right? I've been doing self-development. I've been in therapy for 10 years. I've sat in AA meetings for 10 years. I've, you know, trained to become a therapist. I've continued. And I'm still not quite at the 5 a.m. club, but you know, that's a goal for me. And, you know, going to bed at like 9 and getting up at 5, and then, cause the morning is the best time, isn't it?
It is a great time. And I think it's always astounding when people can join the 5 a.m. club and really stick to it. I find myself, I vacillate a little bit. It depends on what's happening in life, but like, the bottom line, I think, in general, the principle being to give yourself that time. So that's beautiful. I wanted to ask you this because I think this is so awesome to have you on. And I think it's very rare to have someone who's not only a therapist, but also a coach. And, you know, I think, you know, people that are out there wondering like, hey, I need to work through some stuff. I've got anger, I've got fear, I've got anxiety, I've got all these things that I'm trying to work on. Should I go to a therapist or should I go to some type of a coach? So I'd love to just know from your perspective, you know, like when is each appropriate, or where's crossover appropriate, or what's your experience with that?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question because, so the way that I would ascertain the kind of work that I would be doing with someone would be on that initial call with them to assess their needs, to assess, you know, what is it they're actually confronted with? What is the work that they want to do? Do they just want space to be held for them to be able to sit with, or do they want to be led? And you know, there is counseling and psychotherapy that is more led, like psychodynamic, psychoanalytical, more led than person-centered, which is what I'm classically trained in. However, you know, in the coaching side of things is very much more, yes, they are leading themselves into the work that they believe they need to do, but it is through my experience, my own life experience, and through my own professional experience to be able to ask those questions to clear the blockages, to switch the thinking up, to get that proactive approach. And that's the thing about, so for me with the coaching is like, I am far more dynamic in my approach, you know, whereas with the counseling side of things, I'm really much more holding space. And there is a lot of challenge still in the counseling work, but I found that the more dynamic approach with young men from a coaching perspective can fits well provided that the individual's not experiencing severe depression or, you know, anything or severe trauma or PTSD or anything like that, because I do believe that a much more tactile approach is required. Patience, time. For example, the holotropic breath work I've been doing with Mike, if I had done that when I was 6 months or a year sober, I think I would have had a nervous breakdown. Do you see what I mean? Because because I've done the work I've done and I have the support I've got and I am at a stage in my evolution, I was able to contain the after effects, because the after effects were, there were a lot of triggers. There was a lot, like effectively ripped my subconscious open and went, release all of that. Right now, yes. now you're gonna wake up to a lot of stuff and it's gonna be uncomfortable as well in that process. And you're gonna need to lean on people. You're gonna need some psychological support. So I think we have to tread carefully when it comes to what we're offering. I do believe like some people may come to ask for help that may well be more suited to a counseling or psychotherapeutic approach. But I also believe that some of those approaches can be intermingled from a psych ed kind of angle in the coaching world, right? And that although we're working in the here and now and the future in coaching, I do believe that inevitably stuff from the past is going to become present within that work, because we're always talking about our whole self, and our whole self has always been present. So it's a really interesting question, and one that I'm still learning the nuances of the answer to as I work with each individual, because each individual slightly, we're all unique, right? So it's like, yeah, it's a really interesting world, the helping world, in that regard.
Yeah, I appreciate that answer, man. I think that's spot on. Yeah, and it, like you said, just really depends on the person and what a gift that you are in a position now to kind of do both potentially and have the recognition of person's appropriate situation depending on the need. So I love that, man. I appreciate that. So you're working on a lot of great stuff, different projects, so on and so forth. What's the best way for listeners or people to get in touch with you, to follow your journey, to continue to watch your content? Because you always have some great videos, and I've always enjoyed those. So what's the best place for people to follow you?
Okay, so yeah, I'm mostly on Instagram. You got my my main handle is Ewan_Corlett, Corlett, which I'm sure you'll post up on the thing. And I've just launched the Young Men Evolution, which is young.men.evolution on Instagram. So my energies now are focused on growing the Young Men Evolution side of things, to create coaching programs for young men, to create groups, to create spaces where guys can connect, but also to provide psych ed stuff that can really enable guys to get affordable help, and to really connect, like I say, connect the guys together. I'm still in the process. I'm just about to start a program actually, so that I can really carry it forward with strength, to be able to bring all that stuff together. So keep an eye out on that page, because I'm going to be getting busy with that moving forward. What I've realized is that my resources have been quite limited in the last 6 months. I had an operation, won't go into all the details, but I had quite a lot of stuff going on. But my energy is back to a stage now where, yeah. So keep an eye out on it, because I'm going to be going ham, so to speak, with it. I'm all steam ahead, and all the support is greatly received. And I look forward to connecting with other like-minded individuals who are on a similar journey, and hopefully to help a lot of people, right? Help a lot of people help themselves. A lot of men help themselves.
Yeah, exactly, man. And I'm so grateful to have you on, Ewan, just because this work is so important. And I think, you know, I love and admire everyone that's in the world of men's work, because it's so needed. And yes, you see more and more men's coaches popping up every day, but it's needed. You know, there's a lot of men on this planet, and this is still in its infancy from my perspective in terms of the conscious male, you know, arising and taking their place in the society, and things are really changing, but there's still a lot more change. So I honor you, man, for doing the work that you do.
Thank you.
Excited. Thanks. We're going to have all the links to get in touch with you on the show notes. And everybody listening, I would really, really highly encourage you to follow Ewan. Like I said, he's got some wonderful videos, just very practical, nothing that's going to take too much time out of your day, but very, very profound points. So Ewan, thank you, brother, for being on the show. Really, really appreciate your time today.
Pleasure, man. Pleasure. Thanks for having me, bro. Nice one, bro.
Thanks, man. And everybody listening, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you on the next episode. Peace. Hey guys, Brock again here. I hope you all enjoyed that episode with Ewan. He he always is dropping very, very tangible, easy to implement information on his Instagram. So make sure you follow him there, as well as Young Men Evolution. He's got some great videos, really cool stuff every single day. So check it out. Hope you got as much out of the episode as I got. And if you guys have enjoyed this, please share it with your friends, subscribe on your favorite platform, and we will see you on the next episode.